It was October of 2018 that I preached on Psalm 1. That was over 4 years ago. And then we moved to Psalm 2, and Psalm 3, and Psalm 4. And then we left it, we came back, and we left it, and we came back. Take them in order, and today we have arrived at Psalm 35. I'm sure you remember all the other 30 sermons. I hope you remember this one. First, however, before we read Psalm 35, I want to read to you a portion of the Sermon on the Mount, a portion that I believe you're going to know very well, but I want to read it to you as if I am a non-Christian or a marginal Christian. Blessed are those who are persecuted. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Whoa! Has anyone ever hurt you? Did you feel blessed? Has anyone ever insulted you? Or accused you falsely of doing something? And it made you so mad that you just wanted to sock them? Or maybe you wish something bad would happen to them. Rejoice and be glad, not me, Lord. I want to punch somebody. Well, those kinds of feelings are very common on the playground in elementary school. There's a lot of, there's a lack of maturity there. And I think that's true when they become teenagers. In fact, it's even more true when they become teenagers. And the hormones start raging. And those feelings are very common there too. I think that's one reason that teenagers like to go to their home football games, because they want to get some of that aggression out of their system. They don't want to see the rivals lose the game. They want to see them hurt. Just listen to some of the cheers. Hit him again, hit him again, harder, harder. That was my favorite one in high school. Did you ever do that one? Okay, or this one. End, center, tackle, guard, hit your man and hit him hard. In today's news with Damar Hamlin, that's not quite so funny. But it's real. Maybe you even sing. We will rock you. You have to do the stomp. Comes with it. Wow. But of course, when we grow up and when we become adults, all that kind of aggressive feeling goes away. We never have those feelings toward other people, right? We don't know whether David was a teenager or he was a young guy or he was a middle-aged man when he wrote Psalm 35. But what we really do know is that he was worked up when he wrote this. He was feeling very aggressive at that time, and it was not a game, it was real. Part of Psalm 35 almost sounds like those football cheers. Listen to the first 8 verses. Contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and buckler. Arise and come to my aid. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. May those who seek my life be disgraced and put to shame. May those who plot my ruin be turned back in dismay. May they be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. May their path be dark and slippery. Oh, this feels good, doesn't it? Oh, may their path be dark and slippery, with the angel of the Lord pursuing them, since they hid their net for me without cause, and without cause dug a pit for me, may ruin overtake them by surprise. May the net be hidden, oh, may it entangle them. May they fall into the pit to their ruin. So there. Hit them again, harder, harder. What happened to our shepherd boy that he would use that kind of language? He didn't want them to just lose. He wanted them to get hurt. Maybe he needed some help with his anger management. Have you ever needed help with your anger management? Have you ever known anybody that needed help with their anger management? You may not have even realized that that kind of language was in the Bible, but now you do. Does that give you permission to feel the way David did and say the things that David said in that psalm? We'll see. And you know what? David even bargained with God. Have you ever done that? David bargained with God when he continued in this psalm in verse 8. Then, Lord, if you get them, then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My whole being will exclaim, who is like you, O Lord? And David bargained again in verse 17. He said, rescue my life from their ravages, my precious life from these lions. Here it comes. Then I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among throngs of people, I will praise you. What is going on here? Well, whatever happened to David, we need to note that we are told it was unjust. David told us four times in this psalm that whatever happened to him was not justified. In verse 7, he said, they hid their net before me without cause. And without cause, they dug a pit for me. In verse 12, he said, they repay me evil for my good. In verse 19, he says, they gloat over me who are my enemies without cause. That's the third time that he said it. And then he continued, they hate me without question. And this is verse 20. They do not speak peaceably, but devise false accusations. According to God's word, these turkeys were unjust, wrong, and antagonistic toward David. And that is why David was so emboldened to pray against his enemies. He wants God to make them his enemies too. Have you ever felt like that? Is it biblical? Yes. In God's word, judgment and salvation are two sides of the same coin. It works like this. When the wicked are destroyed, the righteous are saved. One of the places we clearly see that in God's word is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul here is acknowledging that he was writing to Christians who were being persecuted and who were enduring all sorts of trials because of their faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul told them in verse 6, God is just. One of the many qualities of God. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give you relief. Praise his name. But when did Paul say all that would happen? Here's the answer. At the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm reading from 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse 7. This will happen, relief. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels, he will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. He will rock you. That's a promise of God. That is essentially what David was requesting of God in Psalm 35. But he wanted it in his lifetime. He wanted it right now. Vindication. Have you ever felt that way? David was just. His enemies were unjust. David walked with God. His enemies did not. And David was saying, God, these are your enemies too. Save me and punish them. And that, my friends, is exactly what God promises to do at the end of times. Psalm 35 makes it very clear that God rescues his own, but he does it in his perfect time. Not mine, darn it, not yours. So hang on. I can really identify with David in verse 17 when he says, O Lord, how long will you look on? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt like you have been at war with someone? Or with some sin in your life that you just can't seem to conquer? I hope you confessed it earlier in the service. Or with a physical ailment that's just taking over your life and tormenting you. And you've asked God for help, and then you wait and wait and wait and wait. How long, O Lord? How long? Have you ever felt that way? God's answer is, hang on. Hang on. Whether we like it or not, hang on. Look at the language that David used in verse 22. He said, O Lord, you have seen this. Be not silent. He can't hear God. Have you ever felt that way? You just can't hear him. Look at verse 23. David said, awake and rouse yourself. Did David think God was sleeping? No, he didn't think that. In fact, he wrote these words in Psalm 121, verse 3, and I suspect you know these very well. He who watches over you will never slumber. You're listening? Brothers and sisters, he who watches over you will never slumber. And he goes on and he says, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. One of the profound reminders of Psalm 35 is that God is faithful. So hang on. Hang on. And now we come to the biggest question so far. Who is this psalm about? Is it about David? Yes and no. Is it about you? Yes. And no. Above all, this psalm is a prophetic psalm. Think about it. In all of history, who was the one true and final faithful servant? Who was unjustly treated by evil people? Whose enemies rose up against him and laid snares for him? And who spoke malicious, wise, evil lies against him? Who wept for them? But they rejected him completely. And they mocked him when he fell. And they plotted against him. And they repaid his good with evil. And they hated him without cause. I'm reading some selected verses from John 15, where Jesus said, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." And then he continued, "If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. He who hates me hates my Father as well." And here it comes. "But this is to fulfill what is written in their law." Quote, "They hated me without cause." End quote. This is John 15, verse 25, and Jesus is directly quoting Psalm 35, which says, "Let not those who hate me without cause maliciously wink the eye." With those words, Jesus revealed that Psalm 35 is actually a prophetic psalm about him. And Jesus inserts some irony into this, that the hatred that his Jewish people had for him was prophesied in their own scriptures. As they opened their scrolls and they read their scrolls, which they treasured and which they wanted to follow, we read everything that happened was going to happen to him. And when did Jesus Christ tell them all of this? He told them all of this in what is called his farewell discourse. That was on Maundy Thursday in the upper room, the night before Good Friday. And Jesus was telling his disciples goodbye. They were confused. Have you ever felt that way? Jesus was telling them about future things, his betrayal, his arrest, the mockery, the torture, his death, and more. He knew the words he would say when he was hanging on the cross, when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You know, I've often wondered how he said that, the inflection. "Why have you forsaken me?" Have you ever felt that way? Or, "Why have you forsaken me?" That would be very appropriate for Jesus to say. Or, "Why have you forsaken me? I expected you to be there all the time." Or, "Why have you forsaken me?" Have you ever felt that way? Even those words were prophesied because he was quoting from Psalm 22, verse 1. "Why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning." Have you ever groaned? Psalm 22, verse 2. "Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer." Have you ever felt that way? Psalm 22, 6. I am scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And now here is the really hard part. Are you listening? Wake up. Jesus told us that the world would hate us too. That's hard to hear, but it's true. He told his disciples in John 15 that the world is going to treat us the way it treated him. Scorn us, insult us, shake their heads at us. Someone in this room told me that her family, referring to her faith in Jesus Christ, said to her that she believes in a fantasy, mockery. A recent TV rating poll by the Nielsen people identified the number one television show viewed by young people from the age of 13 to 35. The show has been called a modern masterpiece, great family fun, and a perfect satire of family life. It's also been called irreverent, socially unacceptable, and a mockery of Christianity and all that it stands for. And what is the name of that show? The Simpsons. A cartoon now in its 34th season. I've never watched that show, but I would dare say that it has a lot of company on television today of shows, other shows that mock Christianity and mock Christians. Even on the news channels, this is happening. In his farewell discourse, Jesus continued in John 16, verse 1, telling us why he laid all of that on us. He said, "All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. I've told you so that you will not go astray." You know, brothers and sisters, the end of times is always coming. It's not here yet, but it's coming. And we don't know whether it's going to come while we are still living on this earth or whether it's going to come after we have gone to heaven. But it is coming. And Jesus told us to be ready, didn't he? He told us to be ready. And he said, stay faithful. Even when someone hurts you, or when they mock you, or they insult you, even when they make you so mad that you want to sock them. Jesus told us, and David also told us, this is going to happen. Actually, my friends, it has already started. As Christians, we are hated. And Satan makes sure of it. And being hated by the world is not the end of the world. It is the beginning of the end of the world. If your faith in God is weak, you are going to crumble as that heats up. If you strengthen your faith in God, then you will join David when he said in Psalm 35, verse 9, "Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord and delight in his salvation. My whole being will exclaim, 'Who is like you, O Lord? Who is like you?'" Brothers and sisters, we need to remember these tremendous words of the Apostle Paul from Romans 8:16. "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed, listen, we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Hang on, brothers and sisters. Hang on. The best is yet to come. God will rescue his own. So hang on. Hang on. Let us pray. Father, these are not easy words to hear. It's not easy for us to live holy lives in an unholy environment. It is not easy to be considered wacky, stupid, dumb, weak, for believing and having faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Father, we pray for those who hate you. We pray, O Lord, for those who hate us because of you. And may your Holy Spirit hover over us and them and bring us all to our knees before our Savior, Jesus the Christ. With love, Lord, we pray in his name. Amen.